Welcome to the LRIS Q&A podcast. This podcast features questions on public safety, labor, and employment issues submitted to us via our website, www.lris.com. Questions are answered by LRIS Director and noted labor attorney, Will Aitchison. LRIS and Will Aitchison do not provide any legal advice. Listeners to this podcast and visitors to the LRIS website should consult with their own lawyer for legal advice. LRS is not a law firm, and our employees are not acting as your attorney. The information contained in this podcast and on LRS.com is general legal information and should not be construed as legal advice to be applied to any specific factual situation. Will, this first question comes from Indiana and deals with tattoo policy. Our department has come up with a new tattoo policy. It requires anyone with an exposed tattoo to wear long sleeves all year round so that the tattoos are not visible. Those with tattoos on the neck will have to cover them with a bandage. Can the department implement such a policy even after they hire officers, giving no such notice at the date of hire?
This is one of these questions that actually has a multi-layered answer. And to put this thing in its proper context, you have to remember that employees have rights that come from a wide variety of sources. There are, to be sure, constitutional rights, both at the federal and the state level. There are also rights that come from federal and state statutes. And there's another set of rights that comes from collective bargaining agreements and the collective bargaining process itself. The basic proposition that you have to keep in mind in looking at one of these issues is that the employer has an obligation to comply with whatever the greatest grant of rights to employees may be. So, for example, it could well be that what an employer does will not violate a constitutional provision. But that does not necessarily mean that the employer is free to take that action. Instead, it will depend upon whether or not there is, for example, a statute or a collective bargaining provision or a collective bargaining right that prohibits the employer from taking that action. Now let's get specific and look at tattoo policies. Courts have, not all that often, but on occasion, looked at the constitutionality of tattoo policies. Probably the leading case is one that comes out of the city of Hartford, Connecticut, where a police department ordered officers to cover particular types of tattoos. These were spider web tattoos. The court looked at the constitutional rights that were involved in the case. Really, they were the right to privacy, an aspect of the right to privacy that's known as the right to be let alone. And the court also looked at the First Amendment free speech implication of the tattoos and decided there was nothing unconstitutional about the employer's order. Why? Well, the reason is that this type of analysis under constitutional law is generally done under what's known as a rational basis test. That means that if there is any rational basis for an employer's rule, the rule will be upheld. It doesn't matter if the employer is right in its decision, so long as there is any rational basis for the rule. What's the rational basis for rules that concern tattoos? Courts have found two, and they found them rather quickly. The first is that an employer has the right to have a uniform dress code, at least from a constitutional perspective. And secondly, courts have found there to be inherent in a dress code a value that the employer gets out of what courts call a esprit de corps. Well, that's looking at tattoos from a constitutional perspective. Does that necessarily mean that an employer is free to have any rules it wants and change those rules with respect to tattoos? No. Now, the reason is that there are collective bargaining implications to tattoo policies. In most states, collective bargaining rules require that employers bargain over wages, hours, and some version of working conditions or terms and conditions of employment. A working condition or term or condition of employment is generally thought to be negotiable if it, among other things, impacts an employee's off-duty life. A tattoo policy does impact an off-duty lives of employees, because of course you can't take on or put off a tattoo when you come to work or leave work. And for that reason, the general rule is that tattoo policies are what are known to be mandatory subjects of bargaining. There are a couple of arbitration cases that hold this in a law enforcement context. Both of them involve the Fraternal Order of Police. One of the cases comes from Oklahoma City. The other comes from Anne Arundel County. We're happy to provide those to anybody if you send in an email to us. There's also a decision out of the National Labor Relations Board, which, even though it doesn't directly impact most collective bargaining for public safety employees in the country, the National Labor Relations Board's decisions do have an influence on the decisions of state and local labor boards. The NLRB case, which is known as Laurel Bay Healthcare of Lake Lanier, holds directly that changes in tattoo policies have to be negotiated with the impacted union. And that's the rule, or likely to be the rule, wherever you have collective bargaining. That is, that if an employer is adopting a new tattoo policy, or is even relatively modestly changing an existing tattoo policy, it will have to first negotiate with the labor organization before it implements the policy. What does negotiate mean? It means whatever it means in your state, in your bargaining environment. For the majority of public safety unions in the country, negotiate means a period of good faith bargaining followed by mediation. And if there's still no agreement, then the matter gets referred to an arbitrator for final and binding decision. In some states, negotiations is a meet and confer process where at the end of the process, the employer is allowed to unilaterally implement its last best policy. So in sum, what we have with tattoos and the regulation of tattoos in the workplace is that there appear not to be any substantial constitutional restrictions on an employer implementing changes or a new tattoo policy. However, if the employer operates in a collective bargaining environment, it may well have to negotiate and even arbitrate over the tattoo policy before implementing it.
Next question comes from Wisconsin and is about Garrity. Can a Garrity-protected statement made by an employee be used in the prosecution of another employee? Are there any cases on this issue?
I have to say at the outset that I've never seen a case that's directly on point to this issue. However, the basic principles of the Garrity rule suggest the answer pretty clearly. Let's go back and look at those basic principles. The Garrity rule involves the question of whether or not an order to provide a statement in an internal affairs or disciplinary setting, an order given by a public employer, triggers Fifth Amendment protections. Put another way, is an order to answer a question or give a statement, is that enough in the way of coercion or compulsion to trigger the Fifth Amendment's prohibitions against compulsory self-incrimination? The Supreme Court, in the case of Garrity versus New Jersey, answered that question yes, and said that when an employee, a public employee, and Garrity applies to all public employees, not just police officers, when a public employee is forced to choose between their job and their right not to give a statement, that is essentially coercive. What's the significance of the fact that the Fifth Amendment applies in that sort of setting? The significance is that the employee's statements and the fruits of the statements may not be used to criminally prosecute the employee. So the Garrity rule is rooted in an individual's privilege to be free from compulsory self-incrimination. When you look at the question in that context, I think the answer has to be that there's nothing in the Garrity rule that prohibits the use of a compelled statement against another employee. whether it be in a criminal or in a disciplinary or a civil situation. There might be hearsay problems with using one employee's statement against another, but there's nothing constitutionally prohibited about it from a Garrity point of view.
Thank you for listening to the LRIS Q&A podcast. We hope you found it entertaining and informative. Remember, the contents of this podcast should not be construed as legal advice. Please consult your own attorney for legal advice on any specific situation.